Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to get your Bible, turn book of Genesis chapter 6 this morning. Book of Genesis, chapter number 6, verse 1. If you'd like to stand as we open God's infallible word. Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Father, bless your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. The book of Genesis carries us back thousands of years. I believe in what's called the historicity of the Bible. That's just a big word, simply means I believe the Bible is historically accurate. I do. I've never read anything from any other history book, archaeology, anthropology, or anything that I've ever read that can dispute the veracity of the Scripture. In Genesis chapter number 6, it tells us that men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. It tells us that sons of God knew the daughters of men, and giants were born into them in those days. This is more than simply something that happens among men or in humanity. There's something going on here that goes much deeper than simply on the surface of it. You think, well, what's a big deal about children being born into mankind? Did not God say, Adam, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth? Certainly he did. But what's going on here in Genesis chapter number 6 is an invasion. It's a supernatural invasion. It's a spirit being coming down to this earth and bearing children with a physical being. You say, well, how can such a thing be possible? How was the Lord Jesus Christ born? So in the book of Genesis chapter number 6, we read how the sons of God knew the daughters of men. By tracing Old Testament scripture, I'm firmly convinced that sons of God is a reference to angels. I further read from the Apostle Peter that the angels that kept not their first estate, they came down. The Bible said they came in a strange flesh. So I personally believe that what's going on in Genesis chapter number 6 is a spiritual invasion down on planet Earth. And exactly what's going on here is that the human race is being polluted. Mankind is being changed. Something is going on with humanity that Satan is personally involved in. When I go back to the book of Genesis chapter number 3 and verse 15, the scripture says, I will put enmity between thee and the serpent, between thy seed and his seed. And my friend, that's exactly what's going on to this very day. There is an enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of Eve. So why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? When I look at Genesis chapter number 6 and I look at it very carefully, the Hebrew word tanim is used there when it says that Noah was perfect in his generations. Next verse. When it means perfect in his generations, it means that his generations was a direct link back to Adam, and he was a pure human being. And so therefore, the prophecy of Genesis 3:15, where the seed of the woman could bruise the head of the serpent, would be a seed of a human being, not with an admixture from Satan. So the Bible says that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And my friend, it was grace that allowed Noah to pass over from the old world into the new world. Thank God. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were marrying and giving in marriage, and they were building and knew not till the flood came and took them all away. I was praying this morning and a voice from heaven spoke to me. You can think I'm crazy or not, it's up to you. But that voice spoke as clearly to me as I'm talking to you right now. And he said, son, I said, yay. He said, son, listen to me. I said, yes, Lord. He said, the spirit of Antichrist has already entered into the church. And when the rapture of the church of God takes place, it will be the catching away of his true bride from what's called his church. That makes sense. That is a catching away. That is a separation. That is a calling up of the bride of Christ and the saints of God. So when he said that to me, he said to me that we have not much time. That if the spirit of Antichrist has entered into the church, and it has, the spirit of Antichrist has always been in the world. Always they have had the spirit of Antichrist. But the people that go to the houses of worship this morning in America, most of those people are walking into houses of worship that are not worshiping the Lord God Almighty, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're worshiping the devil. First you receive his word. When you receive the word of Satan, you have received a lie. And by that you have received deception. By receiving his word, you receive his spirit. This is the way it works in the word of God. If I receive the word of God, I receive the Holy Ghost. If I believe the Bible, then I receive the spirit of truth against the spirit of error. And that if I receive the spirit of truth, I receive the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by receiving the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am therefore born again by the grace of God. But if you receive the spirit of error, and you receive the spirit of the Antichrist, it is only left that you receive the person of the Antichrist. The church is so deluded today and so deceived today that a man can put on a small religious mask and deceive the whole country. Most of the people that are going to the church houses today are living in blindness and darkness and ignorance, and they do not know the Holy Spirit or the Lord Jesus Christ. I firmly believe that, but it excites me to my soul, for I know without a shadow of a doubt that if we have come to the point to where that calls itself the church has received the spirit of Antichrist, then it's just a matter of time before they will receive the Antichrist himself. And if we're that close, it's time for us to leave here. You need to get excited today about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again. He's coming again. Make no mistake about it. It's no longer a doctrine that you've heard all your life and you've been told time and time again, and you look at it and you forget about it and you're disappointed. My friend, get ready. We're leaving this world. This world is ripe and it's ready for the man of sin. So the Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I am so thankful for grace. G-R-A-C-E. Grace filled this building up this morning. Grace called those that have been saved, my friend, into this house of worship. Grace is a powerful word. It is a powerful word. It can reach past what the law could ever do. Reach deeper than sin could ever take him and call you higher than you could ever imagine you could go. The grace of God. And the Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It was not the ark that saved Noah from the flood. It was the grace of God that saved Noah from the flood. The ark was incidental. It was grace that carried him from the old world into the new. So the Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It wasn't Noah's wife that found grace. It wasn't Noah's sons that found grace. It was Noah that found grace. God can save a group through an individual. He can carry them from one place into the other, and that's exactly what he did. 8 souls were saved out of millions on the earth. Millions of people everywhere were beating and screaming and clawing and climbing and killing each other to try to rise above the rising raging flood, and they could only go so high. Mount Everest is 29,000 plus feet above sea level, and the Bible said for 40 days and 40 nights it rained, and the scripture says the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the waters came down, and they came up. And my friend, it wasn't long before everything on the face of the earth that had the breath of life in its lungs perished in the waters, and the floods prevailed, the Bible said, from one end of the globe to the other. And today, the archaeologist and the anthropologist and all the rest of theologists, when they get out and start digging and turning over the rocks, they have to admit that everywhere on the face of this earth, water has been. And that water has been there because of a universal flood. God judged the earth, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I want you to look what that Bible says. In the book of Luke, chapter number 2, Zechariah, chapter number 4, rather, and verse number 7, the Bible said, "Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth a headstone thereof, with shoutings crying, grace, grace unto it." This is a prophecy in Zechariah of the rebuilding of the temple under Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple, Ezra restored the priesthood, and Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And when Zerubbabel raised up that temple, the Bible said when he brought that stone, he cried, "Grace, grace." All of heaven was watching. You see, friend, they'd been sent off into 70 years of captivity. They'd lost the country, almost lost their identity. They'd lost everything but God. He still gave them prophets, and his grace called them home. They didn't deserve it, but when they raised up that second temple, they cried, "Grace, grace, grace." Hallelujah to God. He's teaching you a lesson about what grace is about. In the book of Luke, chapter number 2 and verse 40, the Bible said the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. You know who I just read about? I just read about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said the grace of God was upon him. My friend, the Bible says in John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Why would you suppose that these disciples would say that the Lord Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth? Could it be because that the leper would even dare approach him and say, "Have mercy upon us"? Could it be, my friend, that the sinner, laden with their sins, would find a friend in Christ? Even his detractors said, "He is the friend of sinners." Occasionally the devil will tell the truth when he has to. If a sinner ever had a friend, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said he was full of grace and truth. The scripture says in John chapter number 1 and verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Did you hear that? You need to hear it again. There's an awful lot of people that think they're Christian, but they're still living under the law. There's an awful lot of people out there that if you march to their tune and cross your T's and dot your I's, they're okay with you. But don't ever fall around a crowd like that. Don't ever come up short with a bunch like that. Don't ever have sin overtake you with a bunch like that, for they'll run you out and get rid of you and run you down, for they'd have no patience except you march to the tune of their law. You say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" I'm telling you right now, my friend, it takes an awful lot of spiritual discernment and an awful lot of the grace of God to restore a fallen sinner. Amen. The law is easy to preach as long as you're above the law, as long as you haven't broken the law, as long as you feel like you're doing fine, you look good, you smell good, you're accepted by your crowd. But let me give you a warning, dear friend. The very moment something happens to you, and it can, it can happen to the best of the best. It happens to everybody. That same crowd that you identify with will turn on you like rabid wolves. They'll run run you out of town. They won't find in their midst one old silo-down junkyard dog that knows what it is to have the grace of God lift him off the dunghill. Can you restore a fallen sinner, dear friend? That's where grace comes in. Grace is not preaching the law. Grace is not preaching your standards. Grace is not preaching what you believe. Grace reaches down past the failures, the fallen, the hurting. Yes, sir. And bears up the wounds. Whoa! And pours in the oil. Glory to God. And puts them up in a hotel and says, I'll pay his bill. And if there's more that needs to be paid, when I come back through here, I'll pay that too. Take good care of him. I fell one day by the roadside, and some old dog came by, and he picked me up, and he washed my wounds, and he poured in oil and wine. I'll never forget him. I've heard an awful lot of preachers do an awful lot of preaching, and there's just so many faces in the crowd. I've heard, and I've been to a lot of meetings, spent a lot of time in so-called meetings, just so much time spent. But down through my life, here and there, I remember a hand outstretched, a smile when I needed it, some oil in my soul when I needed help, somebody that would bend down where I was, and by the grace of God, raise me back up and restore my soul. I'll never forget that one. Take that to heart, friend. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth, bless the name of the Son of God. That's the best friend I ever had. Somebody minister Jesus to me. Somebody tell me about Jesus. Oh, I love him. Oh, I love him. He's never failed me. He's never come up short. He's never disappointed me. He's everything I ever thought he'd be, and 10,000 times more. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the rose of Sharon. Whoa! He's the bride and morning star. Yes, he is. He's heaven's joy and this earth's salvation. At the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm going to beat him to it. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. Yeah, he is. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. There's something running through my soul I can't even hold down. Oh, man. Oh, boy. The law came by Moses. The law can only condemn. The law can only cut your soul in two. The law can only send you to hell. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ into the darkest of the dark, into the lost hell hole on this earth, into the dying of the dead. He reached one day, and that precious hand reached out to my soul. He took hold of me in where I am and who I am. It was the grace of God that called me out of hell. And I owe him. Oh, I owe him. I owe him. The grace of God saved me and called me that day. I'll never forget it. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what if you had a heart attack or a stroke up there preaching the way you are? See you later, alligator. Bye. See you on the other side. Don't you worry about it. Do I look like I'm worrying? Oh, bless the name. Bless the name, bless the name. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name, bless the name. Oh, what you did to me this morning. Glory to God, what you did. He said to me this. He said, son, I said, yea, Lord. He said, I'll pick the time and the place. I said, go right ahead. He said, I'll come unannounced. And when I come on you, I'll come on you. And I'll tell you right now, I know it when he does. There's a power that comes over my soul. There's a sweetness and a spirit that comes down upon me that literally takes me out of time and puts me in eternity. It's like everything just stops. It's like nothing matters. It's like everything's so weak and dead and dying. But the one that has a hold of me is eternal and permanent and strong and gracious. And that's who took hold of my soul this morning. You say you're ready for the funny farm. Tell me where it is. I'm ready to go. Now I'm going to tell you something, friends. I want you to hear me right now. I needed what God did for me this morning. Sometimes you get down. Sometimes you do. And I didn't have a clue when I woke up this morning. He'd be waiting on me. I didn't get out of bed. He was waiting on me. I felt him come down, Brother West. I felt him come down. Man, boy, do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, oh, he came down. He said, I have given you the unction. I've called you by my grace. I've put my word in your mouth. He said, take that mouth and take that hand. And he said, you go do what I tell you to do. I said, yea, Lord, I'll do what you call me to do. I said, my life is in your hands. My life is yours. You take, I said, I don't want it anyway. You let me live it for a while and I guess I did. I guess I dried up. I guess I depressed. I guess I despondent. He said, I said, you take it here. Here, gladly I give you my life. Here, you take it. Here it is. Put it in your hands. And boy, did he ever touch my soul. Oh, boy. Woo! Jesus. And Romans chapter number 5, verse 15 said, but as not is the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be made dead, much more through the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. I'm reading the nuts and bolts, the essence, the foundation of salvation. Romans 1:11-6, if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Salvation will never be a reward for a good life. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh boy, I read that and I thought, Mephibosheth, he's going to do something for us but on the account of somebody else. Nobody he ever loved like Jesus. Nobody ever satisfied him like Jesus. Nobody ever obeyed him like Jesus. Nobody ever lived for him like Jesus. Nobody ever bore our sins and our hell like Jesus. There's never been a sacrifice, never will be another like Jesus. He satisfied the Father in every way that he can be satisfied. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. How dare me, or how dare you, drag your religious goodness or dead works up into the face of Almighty God and think he'd make you righteous for what you've done. It's his Son and his Son only. You either accept his Son or he'll send you to hell. You either have Jesus or you have damnation. He's life, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. There's salvation in none other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. 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 Jesus, Brother Caldwell. Say it, brother. Jesus. Jesus. Say it, brother. Jesus. Jesus. That's a sweet name. I like the sound of it. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Brother Wes. Jesus. 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 I'd say to you this morning without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, I don't doubt it for a second, that's the last name spoken by so many of the saints of God before they left this earth. It was the name of Jesus. Somebody told me the other day about an old brother that went on to be with the Lord. said he lay in the hospital and suffered for a while, and said right before he died, they could just barely hear him. And they got right up next to his head and listened to him as he was whispering. He was saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I'm about to see you, Jesus. I'm about to be with you. Jesus, you're my Lord. Jesus, Jesus. You'll never go wrong with Jesus. Jesus will never fail you. He's the grace of God wrapped up in human flesh. Jesus. He's the grace of God walking on the face of this earth. Jesus. He won't turn a sinner away. He turns religion away every time. Come to him with your religion, he'll turn you away. Come to him with your sins, he'll accept you with open arms. Jesus. Jesus. There's something about that name. Oh, yes. Yes, Sister Sherlin. There's something about that name. The name of Jesus. 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 Does that name excite you? It really does. It really does. It really, really, really. The name of Jesus. Jesus. Oh, you ain't heard the half of it. You really hear the cherubim say, Jesus. 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 Well, you hear that ball of fire, that seraphim as he flies through the heavens, leaving behind a wake of trembling and fire, and you hear Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, you hear Michael and Gabriel as they stand at attention, two archangels of God, and they say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When you look across the horizon, as far as your eyes could possibly take in, and one angel, a multitude of angels, upon a multitude of angels, millions and millions of angels, and hear them say in one mighty chorus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But where do you find the redeemed? Where do you find that old boy like me? That old low-down scumbag pulled up out of hell, born and bred in a sewer. Where do you find him up there around the throne of grace? And you hear him say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Nobody can sing about redemption but the redeemed. Jesus, 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 Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, a gift of God. One more time. Salvation is by grace. It's a gift. And faith is involved. Grace, faith, gift. Notice that law and works have nothing to do with it. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, and you can't even imagine how rich he was, you can't even begin to comprehend the riches of the Creator. Folks, the riches of the Creator lie within the Creator. Not in what he makes, but in who he is. That's what he's going to do for you. It's not what all he has for you. It's what you will be in him. Listen, the Creator can create innumerable universes. He can bring worlds into existence. But that's not riches. He can make streets of gold and walls of jasper and gates of pearl. But that's not riches. Riches lie in the fact that he himself is the Creator. That everything that has life originates from him. And do you know what? My mind cannot take hold of it. I really can't grasp it. But somehow or another, he's going to give that to us. Boy, sons of God, by the new birth. Not an angel, not a cherubim, not a seraphim. No, there is a place that God the Father can go to that no angel, no cherubim, no seraphim would dare go. But his son? His son? Of his essence? One of his own? Where could he go that he wouldn't take me? A son of God, now by the new birth. You know he's good to us. Because I know what he does when he comes on us. He holds his hand back. He stays it. He does. I could tell that just enough glory was moving across me. Glory, friend. I mean, enough glory moving over me to just literally make me want to scream and jump up and down. But I knew that he was holding back. You can't handle but so much of him. That's right. He holds it back. Oh, but the day is going to come, glory to God, when the heavens roll back. And as a glorified son of God, you'll go into the presence of a glorified Savior, and the glory of God will saturate your soul like you've never known in your life. You're going to live in glory. Let me tell you something about heaven. Heaven's not about streets of gold, walls of jasper, and gates of pearl. It's about the glory of God. If what I feel in this world, and what I feel in this world defies explanation, is only a touch, a preview of what we will live in then. When we talk about them going to glory, we always relate that to a place. Folks, get that out of your head. When they go to glory, they're going to the glorified one. That's glory. Oh boy. Whew. Oh man. Well, I got two more and I'll shut up. Listen to this. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, hallelujah, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Preacher, this is for you. The next time they mock you and make fun of you and laugh you to scorn for preaching God's word, remember, the Lord Jesus Christ preached. He was a preacher, brother. And then finally, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's today. A young actress just won Oscar. I don't remember her name, but she's pregnant. And her husband wasn't there because she has no husband. She's pregnant. Just as proud as punch, in your face. You know, look at me, look who I am. This is the new world. Well, Mr. Huckabee, the former governor of Arkansas, said that he was troubled by the fact that she was with child. Since he said that, he has caught unbelievable criticism. They've raked him over the coals, vilified him. But I'm sure he expected that. You see, friend, the church house is full of people just like that. The church becomes a social playground with a little bit of religion sprinkled on top of it. It's like you bake your bread, and when you get it out, you sprinkle a little bit of something on it to kind of give it a little bit of a spicy taste. Most of the people in the church live just like the world. And the preacher in the pulpit won't say a word about it. Probably because he's got his porn on his computer when he gets home. And his mistress somewhere. Sad, sad, sad that they've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Young woman, keep yourself. Men want to marry ladies. Young lady, let me give you some good advice. You dress like a lady, and the men will treat you like a lady. So how do you know that? I'm a man. I know how they think. How many of you men in here agree with what I just said? In a heartbeat. I know how men think. Dress like a lady, they'll treat you like a lady. Dress like a prostitute and they'll treat you like a prostitute. If that's the way you want to be treated, then you dress that way. But if you've got the Lord Jesus in your soul, Christ in you, you're living for him, a sure sign will be men and women will put clothes on. The demoniac, the Bible said, cut himself, ran wild through the fields at night, screamed. No man could tame him, bound him up, and broke the bonds. But when the Lord Jesus drove the demons out of him, you know how they found him? He found him some clothes. sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. Father, I love you. Oh, how I love you. I love you and I bless you. Lord, it doesn't matter to me where I go and what they do with me. What matters to me, Lord, is that my life is where you want it to be. I give you my life again this morning. It's in your hands, Lord Jesus. Thank you for pouring out from heaven what I needed this morning. I didn't even ask you this morning, and you did it anyway. And I bless your name. And I pray for every soul in this house today, Lord, that they'd understand that by messing around with trinkets and dying things and trying to satisfy their soul with what a pagan heathen eats and drinks, they'll never be satisfied. Once they've drunk from that fountain that never runs dry, once they've tasted of the good world to come, once they know the power of the Holy Ghost, they'll never be satisfied with this world again. In Jesus' name we pray. If there's one in this house today, they've been rejected by this group, they've been rejected by this club, they've been rejected by this elite society, they've been kicked out of somebody's church or somebody's fellowship, and they're looking at themselves and they're saying, God, do you have any place for me? I want to come to you. Do you have any place for me? Let me say to you right now, dear friend, with all of my soul, I don't know how to say it any stronger. If any man comes unto him, he will in no wise cast out. Jesus. Let's stand up and sing. What have we got, brother?
Page 364 in the church hymnal. The All-American church hymnal. I'm sorry.
364 in the All-American church hymnal. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. I do. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Hallelujah. Yeah, he did.
It tells me of his precious blood, a sinner's perfect.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, I love you.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
How I love Jesus.
He's everything your soul ever longed for. He's everything your heart ever needed. He'll satisfy you like nothing else could ever satisfy you. There's a longing deep down in the soul of humankind, and that's what the longing is for. The Bible said in John 1, he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus is the only one that can satisfy. While we sing the next verse. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Do you know he loves you? You love him. See, that's a mark of your character. You know he loves you, but do you love him? He doesn't love you for who you are. He doesn't love you because you please him. He doesn't love you because you can accomplish something for him. You can't accomplish anything for God. Good night. how in the world that junk started. The Bible said he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Well, why does he love you, preacher? Because he loves you. He holds certain things to himself. He keeps them in a mystical state. Why does he love us, preacher? You're not lovable. If you ran with me for about 6 months, you'd probably detest me. If I ran with you for 6 months, I'd be so sick of you, I couldn't stand it. Night and day, 24-7. How many would like to have somebody going with them night and day, 24-7? Well, goodness, you two would be jerking each other's hair out and clawing each other. Get them away from me. But Jesus, he's with you 24-7, every place you go. Never leaves you, never departs from you. That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace that saves you and grace that stays with you. Amen. How many of you agree with what I'm saying this morning? I mean, how many good people we got in here this morning? Now, there's some churches around town you can raise your hand in. Not here. Ain't nobody good in here. Not in here. Ain't no pretty people in this house. Nobody smells good. Nobody's great. No great people, no great men, no great women. We're just a bunch of old sinners that got saved, and whatever I am, it's by the grace of God. We got a great God and a great Savior, great Jesus. We do. You see, if you hold together what is common for all of you, that's what brings fellowship together. When you separate off in little sects and little groups because, well, I'm different from this crowd, or I'm elite to this crowd, or I'm better than that group, that's division. Amen. What brings us together is Christ. Amen. Well, I'll shut up. We'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock, Lord willing. And God's laid something on my heart, so if he doesn't change it, I already know what I'll be preaching. Most usually I don't, but if he doesn't change it, I know what I'll be preaching this evening at 6 o'clock. So y'all keep that in mind. And of course now, if you hear a shout, don't look for me here. The sad thing is, if we hear a shout and you're looking for somebody, you're in bad shape. Amen. We'll have a word of prayer and let you go. God bless you, folks. Aren't these kids, aren't they beautiful? Look at these kids. That fires me up like you would. Look at these kids. Beautiful. Oh, by the way, did you all know that, I forget her first name. Her middle name is Isabella. Yeah, I know. Kylie Isabella is here. She's not in this house, but she showed up the other day. She weighed 7 pounds and something. Amen. And, she's doing fine. Mama's doing fine. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is one beautiful little baby. She's got the blackest, thickest black hair you ever saw in your life. She's got 10 times the hair I've got, and she wasn't even 5 hours old. Amen.